Well, we are continuing today to talk about the church. We're talking about God's people and what it looks like when we gather as God's people, when we gather together as we worship, as we support one another through the ups and downs of life, as we pursue the mission of God in our community and our world. What does the church look like? We're asking this question, why church? What are we here for? What's it all matter? And today's answer is that we are gathered as the church so that we may love one another. After all, what we just read is probably Jesus' best known command to his disciples. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And in the statement of Jesus, love each other as I have loved you, we see once again this missionary movement of God. We see that Jesus is God who comes to be with us. Jesus is God who comes to show us his love more clearly, more fully. And now, he says, we are supposed to show that same love to one another. We're supposed to show that same love. We're supposed to show God's love to the people in our lives. And now, just to give you a sense of where we're at in this story, Jesus is saying these things to his disciples on Thursday night before his crucifixion, Maundy Thursday. Jesus has gathered his disciples for the Last Supper. Jesus has acted as a servant to his disciples, washing their feet and saying, I am serving you now and serve one another. And now Jesus is teaching his disciples. This is in the middle of 3 or 4 or 5 chapters of teaching in Scripture in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is giving his disciples everything they need to know before Jesus will be taken from them. He'll be arrested. He will be tried and killed the following day. And so the disciples probably don't realize the importance of Jesus' statement in verse 13, but you can bet they'll start thinking about this the next day, where Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He says, you are my friends. And so this isn't clear to the disciples at the time, but Jesus is telling them ahead of time what's going to happen. Jesus is going to go to the cross. Jesus is going to die there so that his friends will be saved. Jesus is going to the cross so that his disciples and you and I and our neighbors and our world will be forgiven. Jesus is going to lay down his life for all of us and show us his love that way. Jesus is telling his disciples and Jesus is telling his church now that we are to lay down our lives too. We are to lay down our lives too for the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the good of our neighbors, and for the good of the world. And I really do believe that God wants us to have this kind of self-sacrificial love for our neighbors and our community. God wants us to care for others, maybe even at a cost to ourselves, because I can tell you for sure that God has shown sacrificial love to you and for you through Jesus on the cross. And so he wants us to love one another in the same way. But now we have to figure something out. We have to figure something out, because now that Jesus has given us this command to love one another, the next step for us as individuals and the next step for us as a congregation is to decide how. How are we going to love one another? Because I don't believe Jesus is calling every Christian in every place and every time to go to a cross and be crucified like he was. That's not what he means when he says, love each other as I have loved you. So what is he saying? How is he telling us to love one another? Well, what we can see in the following verse is that Jesus is actually telling his disciples that their relationship is now changing. The disciples are becoming more than followers, more than just followers. The disciples' lives will continue to be lives of service to him, but Jesus says their relationship is changing. The disciples are no longer just learners who follow a master. They are no longer just servants. Now, Jesus says, the disciples are his friends. Jesus says this in verse 14. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. So this is to say that there's still obedience, right? Jesus is still a master, and we still follow him. But Jesus continues. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. So there's a new relationship here. Jesus has taught his disciples for 3 years together now. Jesus has prepared and equipped his church to be the church. He says, everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus has brought them up to his level in preparation for the disciples leading his church once he is gone. So now he calls them friends. And I'll say, he calls you and me friend too. He calls you and me friend too because we have received the teaching of Jesus through the apostles, through these disciples, through generations of faithful Christians. And so we too are friends of God. We too have learned all that Jesus has shared. And we also have the command too, and we have the privilege of loving the people around us as Christ has loved us. And so now we have to figure out, how can we love the people around us? What are my unique gifts? What are my unique skills? What do we have as a congregation that lets us love and serve the people around us? And this is kind of what we're talking about. As we've been talking about the last few weeks and going forward, we're talking about a congregation vision. And this is really all that we mean when we talk about having a vision for our congregation is our congregation's vision is just talking about the specific ways that we as Southwest Lutheran Church can lay down our lives for our community. A congregational vision is about how we are going to show the love that Jesus first showed us. And I hope today and other days I've kind of been making it clear that a congregational vision is really an essential thing for any body of believers. Because if all this is us figuring out how we're going to serve, how we can love the people around us, that's something that we all need to do. Because all a vision is, it's us deciding how we can use our unique gifts in service to the Lord. It's just us deciding how we can use our unique gifts as we pursue His mission. That's something we need to do. And apart from that, apart from knowing how we can use our gifts to serve, having a clear and compelling vision for our congregation will produce a multitude of benefits for any church, for ours or any others. Let me share a slide here. Those folks who are experts on church health will tell you that congregations have life cycles, just like people do. Just like people are born, and we grow, we mature, and eventually the effects of aging take over, and eventually we die. This is just how life works. Well, churches experience the same kind of life cycle. Churches are born out of a vision, whether they're a church plant or an outgrowth of an existing congregation. Churches also grow and mature as that vision takes hold and the work of the people bears fruit. And eventually, if nothing happens to stop the process, congregations will age. They'll age and they die. And for several good reasons, the life cycle of a normal congregation lasts about as long as, or maybe a little bit longer than, your normal human life. So we're thinking maybe 70 years, maybe 100 years for this to happen in a congregation. Now you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. I know lots of congregations that are older than 100 years old. We're here in Fort Wayne. We have lots of churches older than that. We can look at, for example, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, which is 180 years old. And lots of these older churches, you know, they're not on life support. They're vibrant. They're healthy. So how does this work in older congregations? Well, the difference between churches and people is that even though the life cycles take about the same amount of time, the difference between churches and people is that churches can have more than one life cycle. You can break out. And what breaks a congregation out of an aging life cycle and what leads a congregation to new life is a new vision. It's a new discovery of how we can joyfully lay down our lives for those people around us and how we can truly love one another as Christ has loved us. And this can happen in lots of ways. Visions for a congregation, for a body of believers, these don't always come through an intentional process, kind of like we're beginning here at Southwest. Sometimes changes of vision can come with new leaders or new staff, new pastors. Changes of vision can come when a congregation is just sensitive to the changing environment around it. It happens when a congregation responds to changes in the community, changing demographics, changing social shifts, changing needs in the community. But it's best when we're intentional about this. It's best when a congregation makes a practice of renewing a vision periodically to sit down and ask ourselves, what's our community like? What are we like? How can we serve? How can we lay down our lives for the people in our community whom Jesus has laid down his life for? It's best when we're intentional in this because what we want to do is really stay ahead of that curve. We don't want to wait for things to start heading downward before they head upward once again. And by the way, that's why we're doing this now, because we are certainly not struggling. Southwest is doing really great. We're doing just fine because this is actually the best time to take stock of ourselves and ask ourselves, how can we pursue the Lord's mission together? You don't want to wait for things to start going downhill. I have to share this too. I have to say something else because I think that there may be some of us here thinking, maybe there are, maybe there aren't, but I feel like I got to say this. There may be some of us here thinking, you know, haven't we done this before? Haven't we tried this before? Haven't we had congregation visions before? And have they really given us everything that Pastor is saying they do? And I think that maybe even some of us might here feel some fear or some discomfort when we start talking about congregational vision, a focus on outreach and things like that, because we've been here before. And, you know, folks have spoken to me. Folks have said they felt left out. People have told me before that when all of our efforts are directed outside of these walls, that leaves very little encouragement, very little support for the ones gathered within. And so there may be some people here wondering, is this really worth our time? There may even be some people here wondering, is this even a good thing for our congregation, for our life together? And let me address those concerns. Let me address those thoughts by sharing what a vision does. What a vision does to create this new life in a congregation. It really does four things, and we're going to talk a little about each of these. But the first thing that a congregational vision does, and the most important thing it does, is it gives us a clear understanding of why our congregation exists, why we're here. And this, I have to say, I think this is one of the things we need most here at Southwest, because you all know our history. You all know Southwest Lutheran Church was born out of conflict. And whether it was conflicting priorities, conflicting personalities, conflicting attitudes, probably some combination of all those, Southwest Lutheran Church was born out of conflict. We didn't get together and sit down and say, this is what we want to do as a new congregation. We just felt like we had to break away. And that's something that we have to own as a congregation. That's part of our history. That's where we come from. That kind of makes us part of who we are. But that makes it all the more critical for us to answer this question. Now, why are we here? Because any congregation will gather for worship. Any congregation will reach out to their community. Any church will build up the people of God. So, why are we here as Southwest Lutheran Church? You know, about 15 years ago, why didn't the Lord just scatter us all to a dozen different congregations across Fort Wayne? Or maybe 2 or 3 years ago, things were kind of rough, right? Why didn't we just give up, decide we'd hit the bottom of that church life cycle and let everyone move on from this place? Why not? Why are we here? Well, I have to say, I believe it's because God has a vision, a specific and unique vision, a special mission in mind for this congregation, just as he does for every other church. I do believe that the kingdom of God is stronger for the fact that we are gathered here instead of being scattered. I believe that God has given us, as Southwest Lutheran Church, he's given us a unique set of gifts, and that we have a unique contribution to make to the mission of God here in our city, in our community. To kind of put it bluntly, our reason for being here, it has to be better than just saying that we couldn't stay there. It has to be better than that. And by coming up, By getting together as a congregation, developing a vision for who we are and what we want to be, I believe that we'll discover why we're here. We'll discover where our unique gifts intersect with the needs of our community, and we'll be able to say why the Lord has gathered us together as Southwest Lutheran Church. That's the first and the most important thing. Along with that, a good vision will give us a clear and compelling picture of our future, where the congregation is headed. Because Jesus tells us in our scripture reading in verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you so that you would go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And so Jesus tells us we're going to bear fruit. Our efforts are not in vain. And because part of a congregational vision is us figuring out who we are reaching out to, it helps us to say how we're going to do that reaching out. Our congregational vision also gives us an idea of the future. A vision helps us to say that in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, this is who we plan to be. This is who we hope to be, God willing. This is what we want Southwest Lutheran Church to look like. These are the people whom God has added to his family in that time. And so a congregational vision also gives us a sense of where we're going. And finally, a good congregational vision helps us to do two more things. It helps us to express our conviction that the church is here to be an outward-facing body, an outward-looking body. In other words, that we gather and we grow here as the body of believers for the sake of the going. And that means we don't just focus outward, It means we don't just focus inward. It means we focus both inward and outward. We build up the people of God here in this place. We teach, we equip, we encourage people to grow and flourish as the people of God so that all of us can learn to love, learn to show the love of God to our friends, our families, and our neighbors. Finally, a good congregational vision helps us to organize the church's ministry. This is the real practical part. It helps us to answer that question, well, what do we do now? And it helps us to decide what ministry opportunities are most worthy of our limited time, our effort, and financial resources. Having a clear idea of where we want to go helps us to decide, well, how do we get there? So let me close by saying this. The church is always moving forward. We look back to Jesus. We look back to our Lutheran roots. We look back to our own congregation's history because these things make us who we are. These things make us who we are, and it is vitally important for us to know who we are in Christ, because apart from Jesus, none of this makes any difference. But the church is always moving forward, too, as we follow our Lord and we pursue his mission. And as we continue on this journey, God's specific vision for our congregation, I believe, will become more clear. And you know, it's not going to be the vision of another church down the road, where we say, hey, they're doing something that looks kind of cool, let's do that, too. It's not going to be the vision or the idea that we read about in the latest church ministry book. We're going to discover the gifts that God has given us, and we're going to discover how God has uniquely placed us to lay down our lives for our friends, our family, and our community. Amen.